Hey, what's up? It's your boy, Bobby Sapphire. It is early Sunday morning, and it is time for episode 22 of the KTOD Radio Podcast. I'm here with the entire KTOD, and it looks like they're coffees. What's up, Justin? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm at the stage of the podcast 22 where the alarm goes off, and it's like my 20th year teaching school. It goes off. I say a very bad word, which I don't want to say in the first minute of the podcast. And then I wake up and I get my coffee and I head downstairs.
Yep.
Nice.
And I get to hang out with Maddie all day. Yesterday we had a 1K together. What's up, Maddie?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And so because I was gone all day at the 1K, I woke up before my alarm. I ran downstairs. I made breakfast for my son, coffee for my wife, walked the dogs, and got was like, oh, by the way, I also have a podcast in the morning. So I greeted her with some snacks and stuff like that.
You're a renaissance man.
Nice.
You know, I'm just
such a good husband.
I have my moments.
And Steve, fresh off his housewarming party yesterday. How'd that go, bud?
Oh my. It was good. Yeah, you know, we had a good time. Got after a little bit. Definitely a little tired this morning. Actually set an alarm for the first time in God knows how long.
Wow.
I did not sleep until the alarm, but I did set it.
Nice.
But no,
I think that life.
Yeah, I got to visit Steve's actual office. I saw the little Denny's got there in person. My boys
yeah,
were having
sweet.
A good time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I saw the picture with you with the big, was it big champagne? That thing was huge.
Oh, the rosé. Yeah.
Yeah, the rosé. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Did
you open it?
No, I didn't. I have three of them though. I won.
We should do something with it.
I'm down. Like I don't have enough friends to ever like actually consume an entire thing of it.
Can we ask the draft hang if we can bring it?
Yeah, maybe we should do it at a BYOB place. That way we can pop it.
Sick.
Taking that to a BYOB place would be amazing because they would say like, fine. Bring a few bottles. Bring like one or two bottles, and we're like, okay, cool. And
we'll bring one bottle.
Giant bottle.
You set it up. I'll bring the goods.
All right, yeah, we should set that up for one of the draft hangs. So where our draft hang is coming up soon, if you're local to us or live in the New England area or want to just fly in, you know, hit us up. It's the December 7th weekend. And we should be taking draft hangs to some other cities on Earth.
Don't spoil it.
That's all
Don't
I'll say. We'll
yeah,
be
spoiler alert.
We'll be on Earth doing draft hangs, giving out mats. And free drafts, and hopefully a giant bottle of rosé.
And visiting the communities, too, which is the best part. Like, seeing people in other areas getting to, like, connect, like, the screen names from Discord to actual, like, people and faces and experiences. That's one of the things I'm really looking forward to.
Well, that's, like,
we get
what
this thing on the road.
Great about Gen Con and, like, normally tournaments, but, like, there are no tournaments.
There hasn't
so.
Been enough, yeah.
If there were tournaments all the time, we could just do these at the tournaments. And I'll be at SCG Atlanta, hopefully drag a couple of these guys with me so we can do one there, too.
Awesome.
But it's more about
the
scheduling and stuff, so.
Right. I was just going to say, like, yesterday, like, we get to see the local guys more, you know, that's easy. And, like, that's such a good hang and, like, just kind of, like, meeting other people's locals, putting the face of the
name.
Like, that's what's
other people's locals.
Yeah, it's just like it's so fun. Oh. Like, I know we're all competing and like that's the main goal, but like after like the top eight, like 10 people at the Chinese food place, like drinking Mai Tais and sharing egg rolls, like that was also probably the best part of the day.
Yeah,
I forgot we got prizes. I'm gonna be honest. Mike had to remind me.
that was I was like, Matt, can you get my cash? And he's like, oh, cash, right? Yes, I remember.
And you lost your Quinlan.
Oh,
and
shoot.
you lived a Maddie life, although you guys crushed it. I mean, no spoiler alert, but you guys rocked it out.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about new Metal Fab tokens from our sponsor, metalfabtokens.com. We're going to talk about our 1K huge UK event going on now. If you see me looking way to the side, it's because the stream of the top eight is on and I'm watching while we record.
I'm split green right now.
Talking about meta breakdown, and then we're going to do some Patreon listener questions. Yeah, Maddie lost his Quinlan Vos showcase. He has no idea where it is.
It's
so
not
cool.
In here.
If you haven't been following
not
us,
one.
It might be in my car. Well, I pulled that, so yeah.
This is the content we've been making lately. We're up to almost 6,500 subscribers. We got, even though it has the lowest views on this screen, Justin and I got a ton of great feedback. Some people, like Cuenca, said it is the best like card content he's ever watched. was our matchup deep dive.
Wild.
You guys should keep doing that.
We're gonna keep doing it. I don't know if it's the best card content in the history of card.
I think people liked that. He said it was like it wasn't low effort. It took a lot of effort. You guys took notes. You talked about the match, and you know you talked about a game you played. It wasn't just like. I don't want to name names, but some people do like re-record commentary over games and you can tell they've never watched the game before. You know, they're just kind of like going off the hip, which is fine, but it's just like a low effort thing. And like lots of people make that. I've definitely made that kind of stuff. We try to put a little more effort into it and we've gotten amazing feedback on that. So
no, and just before this, we were talking about scheduling like at different places. I think one of the cool things is we did a local game shop that just opened. Battlegrounds, who's been, you know, a New England staple for a while, but they have a new store in Framingham. So we were able to get out there. You guys were at TJ's yesterday for the 1K.
Oh, what a great
content there. So like doing the recording at like the grassroots level is really fun. But I agree, Mike, I think the process of it was really great. Like doing the games and then like having time to process it. You and I connected in the gap and we were like, this turn like three, like this was really weird. I think I'm going to talk about how I resourced I open-handed two Bright Hopes and I resourced one against Django. And really, I should have just recognized, you know, playing back-to-back Bright Hopes would have been insane. Just like having that commentary back and forth was really good. I'm excited to do the next one. I think the next one, we hit like one of the top matchups, Sabine versus Django.
Right.
I think that was great too. And I think for the next one, we should try to keep doing that. Like hit another, like what's on stream right now for the Euro event, like hit
Blue
a, hit
Boss
a top
versus
match.
Yellow Palp. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about it, but I've been working on Yellow Palp and that's like going to be
You've
one
been
of my
working
big
on it for
decks
a long time,
to,
right?
To like, yeah, the thread in the KTOD Discord is popping off. I had people play it at their like win a case event this weekend. People are giving tons of feedback. I'm on the fold now. There are two of them playing.
That's really
obviously
cool.
Different than what Josh is doing here, but still, you know, got a lot going on with the Yellow Palp. There's lots to explore and there's lots of matchups to explore. And we continue to play test, right? And then we can loop back to like when we record the video and be like, okay, so I tried this line out. Like you were going super wide, but then when we actually recorded the audio, you were like, oh, I don't necessarily always want to go super wide because you tested that more. So like it's pretty cool format and I'm happy.
And shout out to Maddie for standing on business because you've got the video in the bottom right hand corner. Quinlan Voss is busted. Stood on business. Play it yesterday.
Yep, I did. I put my money where my mouth was. So one thing I wanted to say quick, and this is like a little bit like turning into mini podcasts, also like KTOD meeting. I think that video should be like a format we bring back. We got such positive feedback. I think the views thing, I'm not really worried about. Like Mike said from the beginning, and you guys echoed it, is like quality content is what we want to do. So like, yeah, putting in that extra little bit, I think will be like rewarding for everyone. And like that's the thing is like we put out really solid, you know, content just to YouTube, like for people to watch. So I think that's still very important. So I think 100%. You guys knocked it out of the park and like created the new way to do it, you know, always looking to improve, and you guys like moved the bar up on that one. So that's sweet. Mike's watching the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like, Josh is at 29.
We can't do the feedback on like the shuffling noises. There were no shuffling noises in those.
That's true.
So we don't have to build the hate of like, oh, why are these guys flicking their cards? I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
we beat the system on that.
That was me.
Hey, man, we all got it. Don't worry about it.
And because we were on the road, we had to wear shirts. We had to keep our clothes on.
There you go. We gotta record one of the video connection and throw Survivor on in the background.
Oh my god.
Nice. And then if you haven't subscribed to Maddie's YouTube channel, you should go check it out. Maddie finally crested the 1,000 mark.
Once I hit 1K, it was just like an avalanche. And you know, this is the meta video doing well. My tier list and the bottom there did well. Just like having fun with it, you know, just like a way to like get a little more Maddie in your life. Said it last night at the dinner, but like a tier list is just a conversation, guys. You know, it's not meant to like tell you how to think. It's just us talking, and that's a context for it. And then also my only correct tier list was a meme for Asmund Gold. Go check out his. He does funny tier lists. That was the idea. It wasn't to tell you what to think. But anyway, it's a good channel. I think the thumbnails pop thanks to Symbiode.
Yep. And, shout out Sim.
We have a good time.
And
Maddie, how often do you use that face in the courtroom? Like, if someone, like, that should be your objection face.
Yeah.
Like, objection!
I object.
I'll start doing it. Like, oh, man, there's a video game that, like, someone from Critical Role voiced the actor, and it's, like, wild. It's like that. It's like a court cartoon, and he's like,
that's great.
Yeah.
And Maddie drops videos every Tuesday.
That I do. I got to get up on them because the baby's coming in less than 2 weeks. So
yeah, you got to bank them up. That's banking what my movie, baby. The movie podcast I listened to did. They like banked them for like 6 months because guy had twins. All right. Shout out to Metal Fab Tokens, our sponsor, their new streaming set of tokens. And like, I can't stress enough. I just used these for like, just for using them yesterday. They are incredible. They're huge. Mm-hmm. Like, this is them like on a card. I don't have a unit right next to me, but they're massive. They're heavy.
Dude, those streaming ones are so sick.
Yeah, they're insane. And like the Metal Fab guy, Beeflow, he sent the message to us. He's like, hey, is it okay if I just send the whole package to Mike? So I'm looking forward to getting my share. I'm sure that'll happen. As I see pictures of Mike with like all like playing Tarkin next week, like, guys, sorry, I'm gonna need these.
I have so many bags, but yeah, we need more because if we ever have an event, we're gonna want so many of these.
Well, it's funny because Beeflow messaged me, he's like, oh, your boys will love these, like, get these for your boys. I was like, yeah, just send them to Mike, that's cool. It's like, good luck.
I'll get waiting for my t-shirts.
You gotta come to the one, hey, you gotta come to stuff. But the tokens were awesome. I was using them as damage on base, but I might swap to damage on units. Some people would come over and they were like, you have 11 life? It's like, or like, is that 11 damage? And you could also just do it like that, but it's not as
that is, you know, cool, clean. Though. I wonder how that would work.
I might swap to still using dice. Yeah, there's no twos, so you can't.
Yeah, you couldn't really.
You do just have a make.
Yeah.
Make two of like every number.
Yeah, nine. That's why we were talking to him about potentially doing dice, and I know he's workshopping dice. He sent me some prototype metal dice, so we'll see what he's got in store. But he recognized that they were tough to see and made these awesome giant ones.
Yeah, the giant ones are
that sick. Are really cool. And I used some. He also like I used some assets in my Anakin video last week, and they're just big and they're cool. And of course,
I like the idea of like a 0 through 9 concept though. That is kind of cool.
Yeah,
You haven't seen that in like the way that people do their stuff because you have the dials with that,
right?
In terms of an actual like just sort of numeric system, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
Instead of that's a really good
point. It's just not like super fast to do that. Yeah, you know?
It's not as fast, but like it's. I feel like it would be a little more clear. Like because I was playing against somebody and he had the tokens, the game genic ones, and it was like. A 10, a 5, a 3, and a 1, and like
right, exactly.
I know it's very simple, but when you're trying to like do a million things, doing like basic arithmetic like taxes your brain a little bit, you know. So it's just kind of like that's why I do the five D6 system for now, when not using my sweet Metal Fab tokens. But I'm excited for those Metal Fab dice.
Yeah. So me and Maddie had a 1K. We top aided together. I was on Django Tarkin Town, which I mentioned in my Anakin video this week. I was probably just going to end up playing that, and the deck is it's really good, so I continued to play it. Maddie played Quinlan Tarkin Town, which is something he'd been working on with Wu. I know he shouts out Wu in his list.
I put his name right in there. I'd been working on it. Wu had been working on it, and then a meeting of the minds. My list just kept kind of sliding over to his, taking out some of my experimental cards. I think we were like one card off. So
cool. And then, you know, as it is a Massachusetts local, 7 of the top 8 were from the K2D Discord, which was awesome.
Eric, 7 out of the top 8. And then Eric, the other one is someone we've known for 30 years.
30 years since he was like literally shorter than us now.
Since he was like 4'7", now he's 7'3".
I don't think he was ever.
He came in 7 feet tall,
chubby and stuff. Like way, like when he was a super little kid, he was chubby. We have a picture of him chubby.
I was talking to him about that. Like I have this one.
Our buddy.
There he is, right there, playing me
little,
actually,
little boy, yep.
And then me playing Hayes. That's a good one.
Wow, that's epic. Wild.
Great event. Yarn Solo with the new KTOD lady shirt. If you're a lady in the KTOD Discord, hit us up. Send you a shirt.
There's some premium fashion in that picture right there.
Yeah, that's all our premium stuff. Maddie, me, and Yarn are all in premium gear. And then me, Eric, Maddie, and Teddy came in top four, and we decided to split so we could go have Chinese food next door, which you can see that picture. A bunch of us went out to dinner, which was really awesome. Got to sit next to Maddie and Jay Cuenca, my old business partner. And
we split a rainbow roll. It was nice.
Yeah, it was
brothers
a blast.
Sharing some sushi.
Yeah, I would have liked to keep playing, but I know everyone wanted to go hang and eat, and I was hungry. But I would have liked to see if I could have run the table and get the dub. But, you know, it's a local. It's not that big a deal. I'm happy with how I did.
Yeah, me and Steve were telling Mike ahead of time, like, don't do the split. Actually do the reverse split, which is suggest that only first place gets prize.
Game mentioned that because you mentioned that on the tournament podcast on Thursday, and he's like, we're playing for it all, right? And I was like, huh?
Like, for those of you who don't know, we have a second podcast that we do every week that is on Thursday nights and talks about what we would play in the coming weekend and our take on the meta. It's a little more hair down. So
It's the tournament prep tier on our podcast, on our Patreon. Yeah. And Maddie, here's your list. The Quinlan T-Town. You know, you made your Quinlan Vosses Busted video a couple weeks ago, and putting your money where your mouth is, coming to an event, running a version of Quinlan.
Yeah. One of the things that like I was starting to do is like boil down like what kind of cards and strategies I want to be playing and doing in Star Wars Unlimited, and like presenting threats and like disrupting your opponent to me seems like the stronger way to be playing right now. I said originally, like, I thought Kira would be in a good spot, and I think it would have been a fine deck to play this weekend, but I kind of had, like, an epiphany of, like, I want to be doing kind of something else here, and, like, I think Force Throw is just absolutely busted. Kira unit, we were seeing time and time again really shine in the mono yellow deck and some other strategies, so I wanted to use Quinlan Tarkintown with that early tempo advantage to kind of pressure my opponent and then prevent them from kind of getting back in the game with some of the discard and really cheap, powerful spells events and stuff like that. So this deck really hummed. Like, honestly, most of the work is in the first 55 cards. It, you know, you're only playing Han Solo very rarely and in certain matchups, and same with like the Falcon, like it's to present a threat later.
You're saying the first 45 then, right? Like the
45, like, sorry, it's, okay. Yeah, we're not in 60 card land unless you're Josh from UK.
Boy, more on that later.
In the first 45 cards, like it's really everything 1 through 5 here. You're topping out a flow and you're really like finishing them off, and then with, you know, like a 3-2, you know, with a waylay and a surprise strike or something like that.
It's cool. So, you've got like aggression mixed with like Force Throw and Kira and Spark, and then like you've got Blaster, you got a little bit of Smuggle with Blasters in the L37. I love the way this deck looks, to be honest.
I love this concept too. Like, I think I'm pretty sure that Quinlan Red was the very first deck I made, like just of set three, like just trying to build something with, like, now there are two of them and stuff, and it played super well and fun. The only problem with like yellow red that I've found is like the top end is a little rough to grind out against some of the decks with the other better top end, which is why I moved from yellow red, like Anakin and Quinlan, to like blue versions.
Yeah. So for me, some of the really heavy hitters there, like when I played against Thrawn on blue Anakin, was just like Kira and Waylay and Spark, like really making sure that I didn't give him an opportunity to like use that top end, you know, whether it was an early claim, or kind of sequencing in a way that he needed to answer something early with a board presence, and then I could Spark or Kira after and like kind of blow out the rest of his turn. Like, there are a few time walk turns where I just didn't, you know, with Kira named something he couldn't play or sparked his only play, and so I basically got a free turn on him a few times. That was really good. And then I as much as I love the split, I would have liked to see how I played into Eric's Bossk deck, because we had some cool ideas out of the sideboard. Obviously, the discard package is just makes sense, but the Shadowed Intentions can present a really tough problem for them, because Quinlan can take ahead. Like, Eric said his deck had more units, so maybe he could have dealt with it a little better. However, Quinlan's thing is like he takes the board first and then doesn't really let you get back into it. So I think I would have been able to defend a unit or my leader pretty well with the Shadow and Intention. So I would have really liked to see how that played out. However, did I want to play into Bossk top four when it was the night was getting on and I wanted to go eat food and see my family? I don't know.
You wanted egg rolls.
Dude, those egg rolls.
Gotta get the egg rolls.
But yeah, I think the deck's, I think this kind of strategy is really good, and I'll be exploring this in like Fennec Red of like different types of red yellow combos.
Just to comment on what went on in the semifinals of the OPE event, which it's definitely going to get brought up. They went to time. They had like 4 minutes for game three. And with the new tournament update, it used to be that your life totals in the previous game mattered, but now it's just tiebreakers game three life total. And the Bossk Blue was able to just like drop a top target, flip Bossk, kill the guy who had the top target on him, and swing for four to basically like heal to zero and do damage at the very on the very last turn of the game. So Irish Pierre is in the finals. I'm not sure against who.
So if you're in game three, should you just not like do anything? Like,
well, you've got to actually do damage to their base without. So you just need to be ahead in the race.
All right, I'm just gonna these double loss tiebreaker rules are bad.
Well, it's not.
I think everyone believes that.
Yeah, but it's top cut, so like it's not double.
Yeah,
loss.
There's a different. Like, I'm saying like the double loss situation stinks, and this tiebreaker is kind of weird.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clean. Like whoever has more damage wins, right? Game three.
That makes sense. That actually makes sense. It's just a tough.
Yeah, place they were playing being. Lightning. They only had four total minutes for game three.
Right.
Yeah, place to be.
Yeah, place to be.
But they did. Benefit, they did drag game two out really long.
Game two was a grind. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, and then,
I mean, I like that. There's a clear. I'll walk that back a little bit. I like that. There's a clear tiebreaker rule. I don't like double loss in the Swiss.
Yeah, double loss is whack. And then I just wanted to mention that I played Space Django deck, which we sort of already mentioned. Obviously, I have a deck tech video from a couple weeks ago. Both our teammates, John Tata and Alex Blandin, did really well at SCG with it. So I used, you know, their feedback and iterations to make some adjustments alongside their commentary. So made some changes. The one thing I'll say I added was Sneak Attack. That was really great this weekend that they didn't have. And then I saw the Swoop Racers in the Euro event, the OPE event, they were running two Sneak Attacks in their list as well. And they had, someone told me in our Discord that they said it was like one of the best cards in their deck. So definitely something to look at for the evolution of the Space Django deck.
Yeah. I played, you go, Steve.
You can go, Matt. It's all,
I was just going to say, I played a few, me too. I played a few games with it. With your version, Mike, the night before the 1K, and the Sneak Attack was absolutely busted. So I concur.
Yeah, I got to have an insane turn where I did the TDR for a Ruthless Raider on turn three, and then on turn four I put it in there with the Sneak Attack, and I did probably over 30 damage. I did do over 30 damage before I even flipped Django.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Can you go back 1 second?
Oh yeah, of course.
I just have, I'd love some feedback from the community if possible. If everybody could please go take a look at that Space Django deck tech and settle a quarrel that we were having with QB. Who is that a hologram of? Is there like a way we can like poll people? Because like, I'm pretty sure it's somebody. Mike and Maddie are trying to get somebody else. And I don't necessarily believe him.
All right, go look at the Space Django thumbnail.
No, Maddie was on our team.
Yeah, I'm on your team.
It was 3-1, Steve.
Wait, Mike, tilt your head a little bit and the other way and put like a drape over your head.
Yeah, put your Obi-Wan robe, which we know you have.
I mean,
look
it.
I do have an Obi-Wan robe, but it's downstairs.
It's you right there.
Dude, I don't know how
it's raining on Kamino.
Simeon's goated.
And AI stuff is really impressive.
He went back into the movie and put you in. That's how freaking good Symbiote is.
That was good. Suck it, Lucas. That's the real special edition. All right, so tons of events this weekend. Wanted to shout out some of our people. Doing really well this weekend. A lot of W's up there for our subscribers, posting in the Discord just what they did. Case tournaments, multiple case events, right? Three case events up there. There's a showcase event up there. It's just like local store showdowns. Look at a Django winning. Yoda Killer won the streamed case event in Chicago. You can check out the stream. I think it was on Late Night Gaming and probably TTI. I'm not sure exactly. I was out yesterday, but he won with Cad Tarkentown. We got Krennic winning one in Pensacola. They split, but and then DJ Deathstar, shout out. He ran the Yellow Emperor Palpatine we've been working on.
DJ Deathstar and I played coffee games yesterday morning before both of our events, and we both did well. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. He cited that as like really helpful for getting into game mode. And then, you know, we love hearing how people are doing, and there's tons of events, and set three's like popping now. So hopefully every time we podcast, we'll have a lot of different events to talk about and like start to get a shape of the meta. What are you guys thinking in terms of like meta, like globally? We have a good mix here, but there's like Sabine's at the top, Django's at the top, Cunning Han's at the top, Cad Tarkentown's at the top. And then also, you know, Green Director Krennic, Yellow Pal. We're looking at this OPE event. The finals are Bossk Blue. I'll try and check the other finals while you guys talk about what you think.
I think Bossk Blue is something that like might be sort of a larger piece of the pie moving forward.
Yeah, I think
like the Django and the Sabine were kind of early on, like two that we knew we were going to see, and then it was like some variation on Control, but we weren't sure if it was Akira. I think SCG early on there was like a bunch of like Aiden Blues, and Bossk Blue I think could sort of be emerging as like the, hey, we're going to be the Control deck that gets to draw a bunch of cards and play the top targets, and feels like you have a little bit, you're able to stabilize a little bit differently than some of the other Control decks, which are relying on only like the sort of huge threats and removal.
Right.
Bossk has removal, huge threats, card advantage, and like from top target, you have the ability, and client, you have the ability to like gain the life back to like a really comfortable level. Because I think anybody who's played Control into Sabine, like it's not that you die on like turn three, it's that you just like actually do get to the later game, but then they just keep playing two threats a turn and like keep playing. Like Sabine doesn't stop either. Ooh, the doggy. And you end up just ultimately dying at some point, right? Like, it's just sort of inevitable. You're like, yeah, I guess this deck just doesn't have it. But Bossk, you're able to, like, I think a lot of times people say, like Sabine beats all the Controls and, like, this and that. But, like, Bossk is one that I think can actually beat the Sabine.
Presents a harder challenge.
And then you've got, like, Snoke against, like, you know, the Space Fleet. So he's great against the... I imagine he's really good against the Tarkin deck, against right. the Django decks. Obviously, he's good against Tarkin, but against the Django decks. And, like, yeah, it just feels like you kind of can. If you're playing Bossk Blue, you can be like, all right, I'm going to do this against Sabine. I'm going to do this against Django. I'm going to be bigger than all the other stuff, like the Quinlans and stuff like that.
Right.
And you can actually sort of feel pretty good about your matchups across the board.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
And I think.
Go on, Steve, go.
I was just going to say, and I think the further we get into the meta, the more we're going to see on the rest of the Control decks, because they're starting to figure out those right. numbers and what they have to be and what avenues they need to take. Whereas maybe like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I guess 2 weeks when we did the last one, it was still very early in the set and the meta. So that's when the more aggressive decks are always going to shine.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. I had the same kind of trouble of like, what am I actually supposed to be leaning in towards? And if you try to lean in to beat everything, you beat nothing. And if you pick the wrong thing, you're in a tough spot. So I agree. I think we're going to see the meta kind of slow with Sabine and Django are still insane, but I think that, you know, people are going to try to beat them, and then the boss deck goes over the top and yada yada. But like what I wanted to say too about the boss deck is like it is just such a good evolution of the old, like, you know, event only Aiden deck, where like the effective life total was so much higher. Well, you know, with doubling on the bounties and stuff like that, he has the same principles there, but with a little more game. With some of the new, you know, technology that's come out in two sets. So I think it's really solid plan. It's one that, like, I remember when we did the Bossk thing, like, we, like, a lot of people knew, like, Bossk Blue was probably going to be good, but it takes, you know, the pioneers to, like, make that deck, you know, put it on the table and get the reps and, like, bring it forward. And, like, So I'm excited to like try all these lists that we're seeing and kind of collaborate with the group now that they've kind of pushed it, you know. So shout out to them for like going out and doing
it. I love when there's big events like this and just lots of events, because there's tons of stuff to try. There's tons of stuff to like modify and iterate and make our own and play test and just try and get a grasp on the meta.
Yeah, we have context now.
Yeah, and so here's the top 8 of that large 200-person event. It was one Sabine Green, one Sabine Yellow, a Cad Red, two Django Tarkin Towns, a Yellow Palp, a Blue Palp, and a Blue Bosk. And the finals are Blue Palp versus Blue Bosk, the classic Euro control mirror finals.
Yeah, the exact opposite of what we'd probably see in New England, where people love their Sabine and now Django. I mean, like we just were talking about, the boss deck obviously has game. And if you're into one of these slower metas, I totally see why you'd be on Palp. I actually really like that yellow version. I wonder what would have happened if they didn't have the tie, like if it was an untimed 3-map games, like,
yeah,
because there are so many.
Yeah, someone
things,
scooped so. Earlier. Got to imagine that the Bosk is pretty favored into Blue Palp, but I really don't know. But we could see Irish Pierre taking it down. We'll have to see. I think we'll be done by the time the game ends. But this is a pretty interesting meta breakdown. This is all the decks that are like about 3% or more of the meta at this event. There were 28 Anakins. It had a 47% win rate and 0 in the top 8. And like conversion rate's a little tough when it's top 8 because like it's really...
We don't know.
It's not necessarily indicative of, you know, the
200
deck itself.
People's a lot.
Yeah.
I'd look at like the top 16 if I like
right.
if I was
if
looking
there was
for
a top 16
rates.
Conversion would be better, or like just call it 6-2 or better, like how many people went 6-2 or better. This event chose to run Limitless, which you know, it has a lot of the superiority stuff with the deck integration of deck lists, in terms of like I can click on Anakin Skywalker and see how every person did, and then I can also see all right, how many people played you know, 3 force throw versus 2 force throw or whatever, and what were the win rates of those people. So like the statistics you can get into on Limitless are actually insane. Probably would make some good content digging into some of that stuff. Especially when we had a lot of events.
Yeah, I know we're on Mela and that's the world we're going to be in, and hopefully they integrate some of this stuff. But when it was like Limitless was the thing people were trying, the content around in these events, as we're seeing that we can pull this up, is just so superior. So hopefully they can get some of that stuff in so we can shine a light on what's going on better.
Definitely. 62% win rate for Sabine, put 2 in the top 8 out of 12. 66% win rate for Cad Bane.
That's cool.
Only one top 8, but that's an insanely high win rate. And then Palp won, 62.5% win rate, converting 2 in the top 8, including now one was in the top 4 and one was in the finals. So
yeah,
definitely.
And some Palpatine, set 3 Palpatine, playing both sides. That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, low win rate, one of the lowest on here, but
sadly.
It is a tough deck. It's a tough deck to run.
Tough deck to figure out for sure.
Yeah, it's a cool one though.
It's a cool concept. I'm so glad they made it. And like, I was saying this yesterday. Like, it's a leader we'll go back to every set, you know, in every meta,
yeah,
just to see. But
layer in.
I mean, I'm excited for that yellow palp. Like, I can't wait to see what you guys come up with it and take, you know, what Josh did in this event and like kind of.
Yeah, and
see all the angles.
It's possible he didn't really even think much about Sabine because it doesn't seem like a huge part of the meta over there.
Correct. I think he played it like once, right?
6%. But like with us, we have to take into account. That's why I'm trying to.
It would be like the third, like Anakin for around over here. Like Anakin, Jango's in like a good spot. I think Anakin would be like the Sabine number.
Yeah, and Sabine would be the Anakin number.
Right.
Yeah.
Or close to it. But why I'm trying now, there are 2 of them, to try and get like an early 5-drop to kill something, or to get a 7-drop Cad Bane or Maul to kill something big, or you know,
that's
steal some stuff.
I think the Cad Bane cheat out is the move.
Yeah, I still have Vader's over Maul, but like DJ that Death Star was testing Maul's. I think Vader's better at stabilizing. But you know,
Maul gets
lots
the
of
combo.
Contests. But yeah, Cad, yeah, Cad's insane. Like being able to, if you're behind, he can often steal 3 guys.
Right.
Steal the guys, kill the leader.
Especially if it's early, because they're all like little booties or they got hurt, you know. The one thing that's cool about the maul is you can put the damage on, like, say you, like, I'm assuming you have Bazine, like, you Bazine into maul.
Oh, yeah, it's all underworld. It's, like, full McClunky underworld. The only Imperials are Vader and Super.
You could even, like, do Bib, which would be probably not good, but, like, you port the damage over to that thing, and then if you draw another one, like, you could have maul and, like, something else, which would be kind of nuts.
Yeah. I don't hate Bib. The ambush kill. Yeah. I have the Kintan Intimidator.
Got it. Yeah, he played that into me. Yeah.
Cool. All right, we can start looking at some of these lists, especially the 8-0. This is You Can Call Me Al's. Sabine, when he ran the table, and Swiss went 8-0. Justin, he's got 3 Admiral Yularen in this main deck. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool idea to get the... I like the Anthem effects. I have Dodona right now in mine, so that's a sort of different take on it. I think I really like Fighters for Freedom, so that's a hard cut for me. Although he does have them in the sideboard. And I really like the Rebel synergy with everything. He's got the Spec Forces and the R2s too. So I get what he's kind of doing. He's going wide. And Yularen makes those guys kind of harder to pick off. And then obviously the three Burn Ropes is cool. It's also cool that he can like play a Spec Force maybe like on turn 2, like another 2 drop, and then like Bright Hope it. Like draw a card that's kind of nifty, like an R2 or something like that.
Yeah, and so it makes
a extra value to Bright Hope.
It makes Spec Force like a clone deserter. Like it's a 2/3 with this guy, and then what it can do is it can shut down like village people for a turn and then hit it and not die back.
Right.
You know? Yeah, so I think the only sort of immediate feedback I think there's a lot of good things in this list is that the 2 copies of Red 3 are sort of anti synergistic with this because.
You're trying to go wide.
If you're going wide, you might as well get the extra. And also the 3 Bright Hopes protect Red 3 too. So I would say like that'd be the one thing I'd look at. Obviously, I have my list that I really like. And then the other thing in the sideboard is like the Ewing reinforcement is really interesting against some of these control decks. That's something that I thought about. I think Adelphi, the 4/6 ship is also pretty good there. I also don't have Timely in my main, like dances in my sideboard a bit. But I like a lot of what's going on here. The Darksaber in the board is an interesting one for me because I like it in the mirror, but post-board in the mirror, it's not as good because people have Confiscate. Although that's somewhat outdated, right? People like, you don't have Confiscate in this sideboard.
Right.
So it could be just the type of thing where like it actually, Darksaber sort of morphs from being like this incredibly powerful thing in the main, recognizing that it's not very good in the Django against the Django deck, so it goes away completely and people have Confiscate, so you don't want it, to then being like, oh, maybe it's actually a sideboard card for the mirror, because the mirrors don't have room for the consoles. So it's one of those things that the metas evolve and you just kind of have to anticipate what you might see. Yeah, and there's a lot of Sabine's good. I mean, it's got the heavy hitters, right? You've got the K2s and the cat. It's got the metal ceremonies. He hasn't like cut any of the very important cards, which sometimes you do see in the Sabine lists of like, oh, they'll go 2 metal or there won't be Rebel Assault. Like you have to play those cards. So
yeah. Yeah, it's like definitely. Yeah, it's interesting. The Ewing for Wrecker plus a 1-drop sounds really cool.
Yeah, the one thing I wanted to say real quick is like, Yularen's a great thing to try because like one of the things we found about Metal Ceremony is it makes all that math like barrage math and stuff like that kind of wonky. So, I thought that was kind of like a cool ad.
That's like built in.
Yeah, it's like half a Metal Ceremony like, on your 2/5.
Yeah, they have to target him with the barrage then.
Yep. And then the other thing real quick is like, it is cool, the Darksaber iteration that you just highlighted, Justin, because that's something you've been talking about for a really long time with sideboarding of like I think one of the old examples was like Fang Fighter, and it's like the leveling of it all. So like now the lists are almost leveling where it's like, okay, Confiscates, we're not going to play Darksaber. Oh, they know we're taking out Darksaber. We're going to put it in the sideboard. You know, it's really interesting.
Although I will say like Boss being a player... Like, it Confiscate's not in my deck right now at all. And then I'm seeing Bossk, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to go back in, and R2's going to go back in more heavy. Those are the cards I really want to be playing to dig for my Confiscates and Timelies and stuff like that. So the sideboard could emerge as a different type of thing. I've been high on Daring Raid, but, like, maybe that's something that's just you don't have room for, and you lean on Bright Hope for the Django matchup. So kind of see where it goes.
All right, here's that Blue Bosque we were, you know, alluding to and talking about while watching the stream. But this is a Blue Bosque that is just like full on not going to mess around with Django, with the three Perilous main and three more make an opening side and a third Snoke side and a Clan Saxon Gauntlet side, which is like kind of problematic.
People
don't know how to deal with it. The other thing I thought was pretty wild was just the three Merciless contests.
Yeah. Just all the edict effects.
To be honest, I love this list. I think
this is really
like
nice.
So clean, and like you got the card draw with Deathmark and Pershing both as three ofs. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So you're not going to run out of cards, but you also have like some legit bulk here, like Palp, Snoke, Avenger,
Palp, Trouser. Snoke, and Event. Like three Palp, three Avenger.
Three Palp.
You know, he's not skimming on anything. Like you said, it's clean. People play control lists, they play a million one ofs, you know. Yep.
And you've got the entrenched and Perilous position's really good. You still have the one restock, so you can play that thing. You've got the Gar Saxon Gauntlet, so like that card's really good.
Yeah.
You've got like Force Choke if you want to go into these, like, you know, play removal on the first turn of the game. I don't know, man. This list looks good.
Yeah. There's a lot to love here. I think the cleanness of it's nice. One card that I would try as like my extra card, and probably Pierre already like figured out he didn't want it, is like I wonder if the Fine Edition would be.
Fine Edition is exactly what I was thinking too. Yeah.
So that's the only card.
What, like, does that do?
It gets an zero. Yeah, go ahead.
You can go.
Oh, that one. Yeah, that one's cool.
Zero cost. When you've taken someone out, you can play an upgrade from either your hand or discard for not paying the aspect penalty. It's just like a way to like rebuy on some of this stuff. So that would be one thing I would try, like as a newcomer coming into this deck form, but using, you know, this deck, this very clean, solid deck list is like my baseline. Like I'll probably sleep this up.
Yeah, it's a really good baseline to have moving forward, because it's like, all right, sometimes these, like Steve said this earlier, sometimes you don't know what to do with these control games quite as much, right? But like now you've got like a really clean thing. You see like the max edict effects. The what's the name of that card? The
Merciless Contest. And then Power of the Dark Side.
Yeah, I got this Hyperfoil Fine Edition.
So there you go. Ooh. And like one point I want to bring up is like that's what you should be doing when you get lists. Like when you get one of our lists or anyone out there, like sleeve up a list that you like and then start tweaking it, even if you go back to their list. Like getting onboarding yourself means trying out the other cards that you think might be good and are not, and you understand why. Because like when we talk about deck building, the deck is so much more than 60 cards. And like Justin's saying with you know, the Sabine example of like different cards that are coming in, when you onboard yourself trying out those cards, you know which cards are gonna swap in and out as the meta develops. So like if I was somebody who's interested in this archetype, I'd sleeve up Pierre's list, and then I would get to cracking on different little tweaks. And like, if you come back to his exact 60, great, that's awesome. But now you know the extra stuff, and you have like a database in your head, which I think is the most important thing about card games. And like, the list is just a snapshot of what you want to be doing for a specific tournament that you've set a goal for.
Yeah, but a corollary to that. Go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say the important part too that you're talking about is those extra one or two cards that you're going to be changing are very, especially if you're playing control, very dependent on what your local meta is, you know? So right. Like where we play, it's going to be the percentage of the player, the percentage of whatever at like Great Stores is going to be a lot higher than necessarily what he's playing over in the UK. So even though this deck may win the entire event, like you're still going to want to change those 3 to 5 cards based upon what you're expecting to see at your performance.
Yeah, and not only that, but the meta is going to change based on something like this. Like now everyone's going to know. So like anyone telling you to play their exact list is nuts. Like you should be making adjustments, and like you can't just go playing last week's list. Like you need to make adjustments. At least try them. And like if you do end up back in there, it's not because the list was, you know, necessarily perfect in perpetuity. It's like, you know, you've got to find the right variation for, like Maddie said, the thing you sleeve up for.
Yeah.
Entrenched, I will say, just as a commentary here, the Entrenched is interesting with the 6 edicts. Like, is he playing the Entrenched on, like, Childston to make him, like, even bigger?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure sometimes, but there is a little nombo with Merciless and having
just the fact that now you have 6, because it used to be like, okay, I'll play like I'll play the powers first, then I'll like entrench something more in the mid game. But like you're gonna keep drawing those sacrifice a unit things. And then also like I guess the other thing there is like if you play on your own guy, like you sacrifice your own entrenched guy too, because the
new one
is both. So that's something I'd be maybe thinking about, like would that be better? I know it's card disadvantage early, but like would force choke be better there? I don't know. That seems like a little weird that entrenched is in there.
Yeah, the one thing that I found about some of these decks when I was playing Super Laser is sometimes those edict effects become really dope after the Laser Blade. So like no you doubt. Can use the entrenched, but that is a great point. Like that is probably
and entrenched often bridges you to the Super Laser Blast. Like yeah, I don't you yeah.
Yeah, so you can also
I'm not
like
super well versed with these control decks, so like
that's the perfect point.
Shot.
Yeah,
I think the thing that it does do though is it makes you have to consider the timing of when to play some of these cards, which does add a layer of complication to the list.
Yeah,
but let's check out this yellow pal. 55 cards. Josh Freeman Birch continues to push the envelope on how many cards he can fit in a deck that we can criticize.
Well, I will say, is it intentional that it was 54 for a while, and we were like, oh, 54 is crazy. Like, how could you ever play 54? Is the 55, is the 55th card, like...
a big middle finger?
Screw you.
I will say, like, so I talked earlier that I've taken my yellow palp towards a more underworld-based one. But I do like this separatist version. It's just there's not that many separatist cards. But he's got Poggle. He's got Confederate Courier. He's got P-38. And then he has that droid commando, the 4-3 ambusher for three, which is really good. It's just that's it. Those are the separatists. So if you don't, and like obviously you can make battle droids with Poggle, they're separatists, but if you can't get that online, the droid commando gets a lot worse. And he's got Cobb Vanth to find those two drops, and I really love Confederate Courier, but it's just a little trait spread for me. I just like it a little bit tighter on the traits.
Maybe we need to push it to 60. Add some more underworld.
Just go full
I
magic.
I will say,
Star
if you
CCG
are gonna go past 50, right, just to play this game a little bit.
Never.
No, but if you, I know, but if you were palp and a deck that cycles through with Cobb Vanth and like, I guess and Vaders, like I guess there's a world where maybe that's like not that worst thing ever, like because it's palp. But
yeah,
I
but don't
know.
You want drier?
Yeah, I wouldn't play more than 50, but I'm just trying to like get in the head of Josh Freeman Birch here.
Good luck there.
Yeah, I mean the numbers change in a small way, but it's like more non-separatists, you know,
right.
More non-two drops for Cobb. It's just
super laser text.
Well, like one principle that Justin's talked about from Star Wars CCG, not that I played it, was like the deck tracking and like. You know, knowing where the bottom of your deck is. And so I think there are like, and I was playing like a lot of the bounty stuff this week leading up. I thought maybe I'd want to play like Enticing Rewards and Bounty Hunter's Quarry. And like, they're like, I cycled through my deck like more than once, like 1 point, whatever. So there are interesting things that could come out. Now, do you want to play more than 50? I don't know. But just kind of something
like
to think about.
The dodgeball meme. It's a bold strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, see how it pays off for him.
But yeah, I mean, he took it to top four. So
I think it's a cool
deck.
He's
a good player.
We were talking about Yellow Palp yesterday, and you've been talking about it for a while. So like, it is cool now.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it. We see it do well. Shout out to Josh. And like again, like I'm probably gonna sleeve up Mike's, but like this, I'm gonna steal some ideas from this when I do it. Like I like
the three
some
Devastators crazy because it's like if Palp gets to like turn eight. Aren't you winning like always? Like, all right, let's just like slam Devastator.
I think the big thing,
I think
I
he's
know.
Predicting this the control the UK
it's
control.
So
meta.
Good in the mirror, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like
I think the big thing for me is no relentless. Because that was always like
baller
problematic card. I thought
that is a great point, Steve. I feel like I was watching those games and like there was a point where relentless would have been pretty decent, I feel like.
Get the 56th, maybe even 57th card in there, guys.
Oh,
yeah, get it up.
All right, and here, so I guess I spoke too soon. It's palp, they didn't play the other top four yet. It's palp four. It's this blue palp versus one of the Jangos in the other semifinals. They staggered them for the stream.
Oh, would they give them like a lunch break or something?
No, they just did one top four, then the other top four, so they could stream all of it.
Got it.
Like they used to do with the Magic Pro Tour. So this is the Blue Palp. You know, this very, it seems like very cloud. There's nothing too spicy in here. The Traitorous is, he's got Perilous and Traitorous. He's got the Client. I don't know. It's like your classic official, lots of control, blue one. No Merciless Contest in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. No overwhelming barrage because you don't play any units to barrage off of.
Yeah. That's one thing with Palp that I've done too, is like go up and down on barrage.
Yeah. Like if you look, it's like it's Black Sun, Starfighter, and then it's Vader. Like there's no units from 3 to 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you got a bunch of removal. But
I mean,
pretty wild.
One of the things that I had trouble with in like middle of set two with Kira was like not having things to barrage. So like I do get that.
Yeah, it makes sense. No, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's just
such an interesting point of like freeing yourself up and being like, hey, like I'm gonna challenge some basic assumptions. Like I'm not gonna play barrage in my blue green villain deck. Like I feel like it's an auto include for so many people, but like try it. Like, you know, why? Like there's no point in not. And
we're seeing these control decks sort of starting to rise. So
yeah,
I think they're maybe very comfortable with what they're trying to do in the like these control mirrors, and then they're recognizing like, I mean, there was a Sabine that won 8-0, and I imagine it probably lost to one of these control decks. So like, it's not like a drawing dead situation. Maybe it's Perilous Position is the card that's really
is
like.
The goat. Is the I think Django took it out, but yeah,
this is the one where I would want Poggle. I think
clone.
He's an official. You can get the engine on a little bit easier with all the removal. Like you can protect the engine a little bit. So I think I would like Poggle in this one. I'd like to try some blue palp with Poggle.
Yeah, I like Poggle. I think it's a good call.
All right, then we get Cad Red. Cad Red, like we said, did really well at the event. And Justin, you've messed with Cad a bunch. I know like Wu was really excited to dig back into Cad. He said he posted a video maybe with Cad that Yoda Killer, one of his Patreon subscribers, like the list was really close to what Wu has posted in his Patreon or the video. He's got some interesting things here, like the Guavian antagonizer. It's a little surprising. I think I would probably rather be on Kintan for the yellow and just the 1/4 and not giving my opponent a card, but you know, this is all good stuff here, all good underworld stuff plus Ruthless Raider, which is an absolute bomb.
Yeah, and he's got the Jabba thing.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy how little red there is in the deck. Like you're really just playing it for the Relentless Raider.
It's one card. It's one. I mean, Blaster, but Blaster is also yellow. Oh, right. Punishing one.
Yeah, it's punishing one and Ruthless Raider, and like you don't even need to necessarily run the antagonizer, like we said. Jabba for the extra trick, right? Like he pulls Bamboozle, he pulls McClunky, he pulls now there are two of them, and pulls Waylay. This is like a lot of tricks for him.
Oh, he pulls Bamboozle. That's No, it's cool.
That's
again.
Nice. I like that.
Pulling Bamboozle is cool because then you get the card advantage. That's really neat.
He pulls Sneak Attack too out of the board.
Yeah, this is cool.
Jabba's good, man.
The Jabba works. I was trying to work with Jabba for a while. With Jabba into now there are two of them, and then like Cad or any of the Underworld cards. But I just couldn't get it to be consistent. I had trouble like just drawing like the unit or like you don't draw the Jabba, like you're just always missing one piece. But this looks really good because it's got like a pretty proactive plan.
Yeah, and a million
got,
other tracks too.
And all those other things. Yeah. And you've got the Forlom Zuckus thing. And like, it seems like it's pretty well suited to what it wants to do. Looks good.
Yeah, I like it. Awesome. And I know Wu's excited to work on it. And I'm sure we'll be spending a lot of time seeing if we can develop this and figure out the best list here. And then just the top end of Ruthless Raider Cad has been crazy.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, Cad's so good, man. And Ruthless Raider, obviously, always really good. Yeah, he was playing it last night against Alex, so there'll definitely be some games and some content around it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, like, the Jabba Bamboozle thing. Like, that's something we never thought about. That could have been a set two, like, yellow Boba thing. We just never thought of it because it's like it doesn't pop up on the deck list generator, but that's really neat.
Yeah, we're kind of a, you know, beholden to that thing telling us what to do. Right. But yeah, it's always nice to explore the tricks with Jabba. I like Jabba. I've been a fan of Jabba since set one, and I hope he continues to see play. Anything that gets stuff out of your deck, it's great.
Also, 8 booty. Yum.
8 booty. All right, so here's that yellow Sabine. I don't think there's anything like two nuts in here. We've seen Sabine's like play the Daring Raids. They're really good against Django. He's got liberated slaves here for the extra 3/5.
It's just the 0/4 cause, and then leaning into the actual just curve nature of the deck and like the sneak attacks. That was when I looked at this list, I was like, all right, this makes a lot of sense. Because you're getting... So when set 3 first came out, like I thought like Yellow Sabine was going to be really good. But it's like one of those things where you just like you have trouble like sort of finding your baseline, and you're like, all right, I want to play sneak attack. I want to play like surprise strike card. Like Daring Raid could be good. Like I just don't know how it all fits. And then you got 4 cause. But this looks really... I'm excited to try this one. I think it looks really... You got like Crafty Smugglers. You know, with all these Django decks, like tapping down your things.
Now you got six
shielded guys. You got 6 3/5s and Fighters for Freedom.
Yep.
And you've got enough rebel, like Fleet Lieutenants there with a few rebels. You've got, it's a lot to like here.
I like that the sneak attack frees you up from just being like a regular curve deck. Like, like one thing that we've seen get eaten alive is decks that just straight curve out. And so you do like the early curve or like a 2/3/2/2, and then like your sneak attack is letting you like, you know, sneak out a K2 and then also do something, you know. So I like that, like it kind of frees you up to like go wide
And use all your cards, like, right? That's what aggro wants to do, is like use every single one of their cards. If you end the game, you lost with a bunch go of Nova. Cards in your hand.
I like the added value L3 has gotten now to that CAD's actual build card that do capture.
Mike, you should revisit what the heck's his name?
Lando
and Zori, and just go absolutely Nova.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about it.
Maybe I'll see if we got any help with set 3. I'm not sure that did.
Red yellow seems close.
I know, but these are all other than R2, it's all set 1 stuff.
Sabine.
Yeah, but unit. And you wouldn't even run Sabine and Lando, because what you want to do on 4 is like Lando. Cheat out something huge like a Zori or a big Falcon or something.
The R2 is a big, I mean, you know,
I'll try it with R2. So this R2's is the hot. This is the Swoop Racers version of Django. You know, they've got some innovations that we had last weekend. You know, the crafties, the one tie advance and Imperial Interceptor. They're on Confederate Tri-Fighter, which I'll still maintain, like, I don't like. You know, it doesn't do anything against the best heal card in the game, Vigilance. They literally get to destroy it and then still heal the 5.
And then heal.
So,
right.
Like, I'm not saying it's not good in every situation, but it's not good against some of the best cards.
Wolf, right?
I like Wolf. Wolf,
because it turns it off when played or when attacked. So after they, like, that's the thing. It's like a static effect versus, like, what Wolf does, Wolf like, yesterday. Yeah, a trigger.
I played against Blue Bosk, and like I'll great. Say this: if Irish Pierre game, right? like influences this meta at all, and people are playing more Bosk, like I played against Eric, he dropped a top target, or like he activated his client, and he was going to flip Bosk and do the heal 10, and I just slammed Wolf, and it's done for the turn. He has to he has to go next if he wants to heal, and he also and he has to kill the Wolf. And if it's not his Bosk flip turn or something, or like I can tap down his Bosk at the start, like I can also just like claim if he does anything, attack with Wolf next turn, and he still can't heal. So the Wolf was really great for me in the one matchup I boarded it in. I just know I don't like Confederate Tri-Fighter because I don't think it does what I need it to do. He's on swoop. These guys are on swoop downs instead of breaking in, which
done 12 events, which I think is
it's low for ISBH.
Low.
But it's also possible that they don't always want to ISB on turn 1.
You kind of save them, right?
I know, like
it's such a cheap tempo play.
I was doing that a little bit more aggressively, like in our video, Justin. I was like always doing that, and some of the lines I took yesterday were like just running out a crafty, a cartel, or a Kylo Tai,
and then doing it later,
and then using it later, like especially on the play where I can like put out a 2-drop and then still have initiative. I can tap down with ISB agent the next turn, which
or
is really
like
great.
Turn 3, like playing a 3-drop.
Just it's just
if
like using it as
triple dark.
Yep, just using it as a spell alongside something else works really well. That's probably making the 12 a little more palatable, but I still think that's crazy low. And I like breaking in. I think like, you know, you don't just not having to go through every sentinel, and people are going to be playing a lot of Bright Hope. I played quite a few Bright Hope decks yesterday, and you can deal with the first one, but the second one can be a lot tougher.
Can be a pain in the ass.
It does make sense. Like, that's the card that you might look at, like shifting some of your spells to that. Like, even if you're not dropping down to 12 and just straight up cutting it, like if you wanted to get more surprise strikes or surprise strike, sneak attack, sorry, in your deck. Breaking in is probably the card that you could look at. Like, all right, is it necessarily crucial that you have to play three? Like the plus two versus the plus three is a big difference. So that is interesting. That, like, you know, obviously you're going to play three surprise strikes. You're going to play three triple dark raids. Like, that's six spells. Oh, there's no daring.
He doesn't have daring raid, which is my next.
Or breaking.
No. Yeah, wow. The daring raid is a little bit more wild because now you're not going like. 1/3/1/1 drop plus daring raid to Tarkin Town something problematic.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel like more curvy. No daring raid and then like one card I like, and I know you're already on it, but I just want to, like, from someone who's only played the deck a little bit, like, I love the tank. Like, I was playing your version and like there was a point where like if I hit the tank off my TDR, I just like win the game because they like they swerve into space and like they do that whole thing and you can just like really kind of get them there. So like that, I'm glad like to see.
I had a couple of double exploits on the tank. There was one game where I had all three ISB agents and I'm just like happily eating two. Anytime you can eat a Ruthless Raider late game is like really great to do the extra triggers.
Did you ever try Genosin? Is it just not good because it's the body stinks? Because like it's kind of a similar principle of like.
Yeah, we just don't need the bounce. Really, is all it is. It's just, and you don't ever want to. You don't want to eat your board because those ISB agents, they tap down opposing units,
right?
So you're not like dying to blow up your board.
Because they're gonna like suicide into whatever.
But like,
the tank just as a five drop seems good. Like knock it out one guy.
I love the tank.
I just slammed it against Sabine yesterday. Like, I ate one guy. I tapped down their Sabine, and then my Ruthless Raider killed the Sabine the next turn.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
I think Jango is insane. Like so funny. It's like Sabine is the deck that everyone wants to like get reps into, and like I'm seeing more and more like that change to Jango, at least in our internal testing.
Yeah, and
it's like a big stress tester.
This is Dave's version, which is pretty close to what Tata ran last week, where he has the one main interceptor, one main advance. He does have the swoop down main. And he has a Vambraces in main.
And the cad. And this looks very similar, right? Maybe a few.
Yeah, I actually think it's like only one card off of what Tata ran last week. And it's the swoop down, I'm pretty sure. I think maybe Tata ran two Waylay. But either way, it's almost identical. It's got a lot of this. I mean, you know, the lists aren't going to be that different. And Dave snuck in at 6-2. I think it was the only 6-2 to sneak in. So pretty cool. Must feel good, especially since he's in the top four. But yeah, deck is great. I think it's really strong. I'm locked for Worlds. I'll be playing this.
Booyah.
Is that official?
I mean, Worlds is going to be set 5, so I don't know, but I hope. How many ships are we getting until then?
Contracts are binding.
Broken record, but you know, every time I think, oh, we're probably hit the max of what we're going to do. 2 weeks ago, we were at 1227. We've had... you know, 75, almost 75 more. And it's like fluctuated that it's been like up and down on 1300, as people end their final months and rejoin or whatever. But we've got 1300 members officially right now, or we did last night when I was making these slides.
Yeah. People are really digging it, which is awesome.
And
the
crazy thing is like, there's not a lot of arguing, like there's no mean spirited arguing. Yeah. It's like all about the game. And, you know, I don't know if we mentioned this last time, but through election season, there was not a single political conversation in the Discord. It's just like everyone chilling, talking about cards, having fun.
Our community's insane. We're so lucky. Like, it's unbelievable.
Stop saying I don't have enough time to drink the rosé because that's telling me contrary other beliefs.
How many can we divide that up into 1300, that bottle? Probably.
Probably it's 15 liters. Jesus, I don't even know how many ounces that is.
Get on that math. All right, so we'll do a couple questions. Funny. We've only got a couple minutes left before I have to go. From Mark, in the UK, I've seen a number of people hot on the bandwagon for this new set 3 card. I'm interested to hear your takes on for what makes it so good. And I think this is commonly appreciated as one of the best cards in set 3.
Yeah, when I did my top 10, I wanted to put it on. I did it as like an honorable mention. And a few times we'd mentioned like this card's just like so insane because I think the deal is like the tapping is like really strong. Like just the fact that you always get that. If you think about make an opening, there were so many games because like X, there's not that many X2s in this game. So like there's some heavy hitters, but like there's a lot where you just want it to sort of stick for more than just that one turn.
Yeah.
So like the minus two, it's like, yeah, it's minus two, but then they go right back. Like you're just
Yeah.
like you're
You
not really
can't
doing
make an
much.
opening Poe. Like you're still
Right,
taking
exactly.
six and then you still have to kill him.
So like this is something that it can go on leaders, and it stops them from like being, pushing that damage for a while. It's like it's good against like cards like Overwhelming Barrage, where you get to like knock down something. Like the Boba Bannum was full supportive of it, but I think this card would have been actually like pretty good against like Boba, like oh, you tap
Yeah.
your Boba, now you can't like untap your
Yeah, you
resources
can't
and just
pop off this
attack.
turn. I mean, we saw
Yeah.
that No Good to Me Dead,
The
one of the best
exhaust is
things to do
such a
in the
blow though
mirror, like
too.
on unit
Yeah.
like needs to tap to like get the extra resource. Sabine can't ping and it's like delays them. It's basically like a heal five sometimes. It's great.
Feels like a jacked up version of that JT Pike wanting to play in Ray Blue.
Yeah. What was that
Oh
card,
yeah,
Mike, that you were
Unexpected
eyeing?
Escape. Yeah, and like
Right.
I,
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
exactly. And this is like, yeah, it's a great version. It's as opposed to like some jank version. So yeah, I think.
Right, yeah, we were playing like that just to get a tap down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Perilous
Yeah.
is very, very good.
You could almost think it's like choose two modes, like tap a unit, make a unit minus two for the remain. Like, you know what I mean? It's
Yeah,
almost
yeah.
like one of those like double
Right.
Yeah, the mono
legend cards
modals.
from the first ones. Yeah.
All right, Steve, do you think we need more Obi after seeing results from case tournaments, SCG, other events, a trend in the meta, a lot of decks ping. Quinlan, Cad, Jango, Bossk, Rey, etc. Do you think Obi-Wan sees more play to counter these ping decks? Maybe even Luke, since he can shield units to protect them. I think we've seen more Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely like Obi, and I just wish I could figure out how to make it work. I think the important difference between, say, Obi and Luke is with all of the ping decks, it makes the fields probably worse on Luke because they can just pop it a lot easier as opposed to, like, if you had like a shield on a Bright Hope, they'd have to attack into it twice. Now they can ping the shield to pop the shield and then attack into it. I do like Obi in general. I think the fact that we haven't actually seen like a blue-green hero anywhere for the most part is kind of telling, and I think there's definitely some options there. I don't know. I know one of the smaller tournaments you posted results earlier.
There
Obi
was an Obi I saw
Yeah.
that too.
Yeah, top first place OBCN. I think there's some. I know we talked about this on the mini pod a little bit, and it's something I've kind of been working on behind the scenes with one of our office hours guys. But the same way that we talked about earlier, control is starting to develop because they're starting to find where they'd be and how to position their meta. I think blue green will eventually get there. Just nobody's figured out most.
Marshall's in the house. He's like an Obi-Wan.
Nice.
Yeah, I tried to get him to go ask my wife for a
Obi-Wan
treat,
advice.
and he did, but now he's back and better than ever. Well, I didn't want to say the word because if I say the word, he's going to want to go eat another one. And it's not even 8 o'clock, so I don't want him eating a lot of those.
That's like when I
But
say cookie around
that's the word that I'm trying not to say.
the
Exactly. Again, the dogs. Yeah, same thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, like, Obi's an interesting spot because, like, you can turn off the Tarkin Town play, but your guy still gets tapped against Jango, so it is interesting. But I agree. Like, I think that is an area that needs to get explored. And I think these kind of mid-range decks just need a lens to look at, and they're starting to get
Yeah.
that lens.
I think the combination of Conquer Dawn and Bright Hope right now is just backbreaking to all of these Jango. And if anybody's playing like Tarkin, Phantom Tide type decks there, like just how Mike was saying earlier, you can get through the first Bright Hope really easily. It's the second one that's a problem. Like when you can do Conquer Dawn into that, like you pretty much just lock up space completely.
Yeah.
And there's
And a
two
sentinel
targets.
that's not going to get Tarkin Town because you can wipe it away is interesting. That's a great point, Steve.
Exactly.
Yeah, that and Luke just like creating those doubles, like you said. Kylo, why isn't Kylo getting more love? Why is Kylo getting no love? What is he missing? McFrigo asks. I think he's missing
Missing
booty.
Rey.
Missing Rey. I just think like any you know, if your leader gets ECL record and doesn't die back, like that's just a real tough spot. That's why I think like Asajj is kind of mopey, though I do like that people are playing her with Petronaki Arena, so she does a four attack off, like off the flip, but just these four attack, these four defense leaders are rough.
Yeah, it's hard to figure them out. I looked at one with like the blue base to make him a 5/5, but it's hard, especially when you have like similar type of aggressive leaders like Django, and even the, who's the new one, the Ventress, is it Ventress?
Yeah, Ventress.
Ventress is like a four.
Malisei
aggro. I just don't see it. Like, there's just like, if there was no such thing as Django, and if there was nothing else, like maybe he would see a little more play.
Not even that though.
Far, Django's so good.
If your leader dies to open fire, you're probably doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Well, one of the tough points too is like when we explore those color schemes, the early units are just not good. They're like 3/1s and stuff. So like, even if the leader, like, you could do a build around, like, the early...
Marshall loves out,
yeah, like, you just can't... OG. I don't know. It needs some help and more than just a leader.
All right. Well, with that, I think we'll save the rest of the questions for the next one. We're over 110 now. I've got to go to my daughter's 5K, so let me go to the final slide.
Oh, ooh, no, she's the... playing 5Ks or playing
she's
1Ks.
She's leveled up. She's flying about 5K. Cool. So, yeah, a lot to love about the game. I know some, like, there's been some, like, anti-Doomsayer videos, but, like, the game's great. Everything's going great.
The game's dope.
If we just have a little more OP, everything's going to be amazing.
I mean, 200 people in UK is pretty indicative of...
Yeah, and that's the thing is, we need people making... those events, like, we need more than SCG. We need people to step up and be the event people.
Yeah, shout out to those guys for setting that up. The content was really, really good.
Absolutely amazing. And like, hopefully,
if only we were doing a K2D 10K, you know, like,
yeah. I mean, I just got all these sweet graded cards to add to the prize wall. Got a foil Mando.
Oh, that's gross.
Yep.
So those are thick.
I have some hyper foils to give you. Hyper foil Vader, and I had to use my hyper foil Falcon because I only had two. Yeah, but that's gonna go in the prize.
The foils are gonna get low grades, but I'd like some non.
We don't have to grade them all.
That's true. We don't. But I might try anyway. All right. Well, thanks everyone for watching, and we'll check you next time.
Booyah! Great pod, guys.
See you guys
later.